Good morning. Really want to thank the worship team for leading us. It's so good to be here at Applewood. It's been a long time since I've known about Applewood, but this is the first time I've ever been here, and my wife and I on a Sunday to worship with you. So this is extra special. You know, you learn a lot about a church by worshiping together, And this just has such a wonderful feel, family. I mean, I've gotten to know Guy a little bit better over the last couple of years as we've done just some conversations around pandemic and as this transition has begun to kind of come on the radar. Rumor has it that Guy is going to be retiring, and is that true? Does anybody actually believe that? No, but that's a big deal, you know? This is a huge thing for Applewood, and I, you know, I come into this space this morning with a deep awareness of that there's probably a lot of mixed feelings. I mean, I'm sure Guy's got some exciting, you know, ideas for maybe the next season, but big change for this church, and with that comes anxiety and questions about what's next. So, you know, I'm looking forward to being with you today, and as we kind of think through that and talk a little bit about things that we can know, but then also trusting God for the things that we don't yet know, right? So we're looking forward to that. My wife Cheryl is with me today, and it's always fun when she can travel with me. She retired actually in May and April, whatever it was. And so this has been a fun season for us to be able to do more together, and she's enjoying it a lot. So we met, actually, Cheryl and I met at Bible College in Canada many years ago. And yeah, we started out just the two of us, and then for some reason, we ended up with a whole bunch of people. I used to sit around our table at Thanksgiving when all of us would be there, and think, I'd whisper to Cheryl, where'd all these people come from? It's like, so we have three grown children, and we're so grateful for our family, and grandchild number 11 on the way. And we think that'll be it. Of course, who knows? But I love my family. I love the church. I love the bride of Christ, the church. And these things have been central to my life and have given me a lot of grounding. Over the past 37 years, we have served established churches, and then we've planted three new churches in California and in Minnesota and in Kansas, where we currently live. And for the past 10 years, I have served on the Midwest Conference team, and I've been grateful to be able to visit the 90-plus churches that make up the Midwest Conference Covenant Churches, and of which Applewood is one of those shining churches. And as I've traveled around, just in the last year, I've met some interesting people, and I've been asking some questions, and it's kind of based around Philippians 2, but I've been meeting interesting people who have really interesting stories, like Mary from Iowa. She and her husband are a great couple, and wherever they go, they seem to meet some really interesting people. Like, let's see, like Mary and Harrison Ford. So they're traveling through the desert Southwest, and this is Mary and her husband. They just happen to run into Harrison Ford in the middle of nowhere in the desert. Or President Biden. And I'm thinking, Is this just them, or is it some other things going on within covenant people in the Midwest Conference? So I've been asking some congregations, like, who do you know? You know, like, who do you take pictures with? And so I've met people who've talked with Jack Nicholson, Bill Murray, Condoleezza Rice, even O.J. Simpson. And it continues here at Applewood, believe it or not. So here is your worship director Kim with Mick Fleetwood from Fleetwood Mac. it's not. That's not all. What's next? And Danny Glover. You'll have to talk to Kim because she has a couple other photos too. Now, Cheryl and I do not run in celebrity circles. We want you to know we are humble people. And however, I do have one photo that I think I'm pretty proud of, actually. Cheryl and I were eating lunch at a Jason's Deli in Wichita a couple of years ago when Kirstie Alley, remember Rebecca Howe from Cheers, walked into Jason's Deli and sat down in a booth behind us. Now, Kirstie is from Wichita, so it's not a big surprise that she was there. But as I protested, Cheryl discreetly pulls out her phone. And I said, don't do that, don't do that. But this is my lunch with Kirstie Alley photo. So I am not left out of this. This summer we've been watching, some old episodes of Jerry Seinfeld's show, comedians getting coffee, in cars getting coffee. Any of you watch that? I mean, it's just kind of a fun, 20-minute thing. And the show's premise is so simple. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Seinfeld picks up a guest, they drive to a diner where they talk and have coffee. And they make lots of money doing this, right? But that's it. It's normal stuff. I mean, nobody would even watch this show except they are stars, right? People who stand out in our culture and who just happen to be maybe driving a million-dollar BMW 507 or a 1949 Porsche hand-built aluminum, or other rare automobile. Stars enjoy certain privileges. And there are certain perks, there's a certain power that goes with stardom. So I guess it shouldn't surprise us that we as churchgoers kind of get intrigued with stardom as well. You know, we're part of the culture that we live in. 30 years ago, a friend of mine, we were coming back from a conference in Chicago, and we were sitting in the O'Hare Airport waiting for our flight, and we were talking. We were both young, early in our ministry as pastors, and we were talking about our future ministries. And my friend was super excited because he'd had a conversation at the conference with a superintendent who was encouraging him to consider becoming a church planter, whatever that was. And he was excited because this superintendent had called him a rising star in the church. Yeah. That was the first time I'd ever heard of a follower of Jesus being referred to as a star of any type. And it both bothered me because it just didn't set right with me. And I was a little jealous because nobody had ever called me a rising star. So ever since then, my ears perk up whenever I hear star language kind of being referred to with Christ followers. Like a couple years ago, a good friend of mine was leading a training for a group of church planting pastors. She is a good speaker with a very winsome personality, and she did a nice job with her part of the training. And after she sat down, a couple of my other colleagues leaned over to each other and said, "She's a rock star." Now, I knew what they were talking about. She did a nice job. But again, that language seemed to be odd to me. Our scripture today from Philippians 2 has some things to say about star quality. So let's listen to Philippians 2, beginning at verse 14. Paul is writing and he says, "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." I love this text. I've loved it all of my adult life and have been drawn to it many times over the years. Recently, I think this text has taken on some new contours for me because I've always known that we live in a fallen world, in a broken world, but lately, it seems like the whole world's kind of caught on fire. right? It's not just me, right? You know, before the pandemic, our culture was already fractured around politics and social issues, but ever since COVID-19, it just seems like we are finding more and more things to fracture over and divide over. And it just seems like our world is continually finding new ways to break. Social issues, racial issues, guns, immigration, Supreme Court, human sexuality. I don't know what next week will bring, but it'll bring something else, right, for us to divide over. In his book, any of you C.S. Lewis fans? He wrote a book a long time ago called The Great Divorce. And, you know, it's a pretty interesting book. And in this book, The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis paints, I think, a vivid picture of what Paul is describing here as a crooked and depraved generation. Lewis paints a picture of Greytown. If you remember that, if you read the book, you may remember Greytown. Greytown is a place apart from God where people can be their own gods, where you get whatever you want whenever you want it. Sounds pretty good, right? In Greytown, everybody gets their way and nobody gets along with each other. But that's okay, because in Greytown, there is this unlimited space for people to run into their own corners. And they do. Driven by fear, driven by insecurity, and really contempt for each other, the people in Greytown move further and further and further away from each other until thousands and millions of miles separate them from each other. I mean, they're just completely on their own. And it feels like something similar is at work in our culture today. It feels like our own dark fears, amplified by the media echo chambers and our iPhones, and are just encouraging us to run to our own corners where we can be outraged with a few other people who share our particular view of reality, right? I mean, I hate to even mention anything, but I mean, just to give you an illustration of the corners we run to. If you dislike Anthony Fauci, there is a corner for you, right? I mean, if you dislike anybody, you'll find a corner for them. Whatever your position on guns is, you'll find your corner. Whatever your convictions around violence or law enforcement and police officer, you'll find a corner. Whatever the issue is that you feel strongly about, you can run to that corner and you'll find a few other people in it. We are a people who have spent the past few years running to our corners. And this is true even in the church. We understand, I think, when people that we love, who maybe are far from God or who are struggling in life, you know, people who are looking for hope, they often look at the church over the last few years and say, I don't want to run to their corner. That breaks my heart, right? Breaks your heart. What does it mean to shine like stars as we hold out the word of life? Well, let's go back to Philippians and back up to the beginning of the chapter, verse 3. Here's what Paul says. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's a pretty radical thought in Greytown. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Don't look out just for yourself, but for each other. You remember the story a year and a half ago of a young girl, 17-year-old Verda Teta, who graduated from high school in 2021. Verda had been accepted to Harvard University. And she didn't grow up in a life of privilege. In fact, her family was from Ghana, and Verda herself worked at a local grocery store, but during her high school graduation ceremony, she turned down a $40,000 scholarship that had been granted to her, and she asked that that money, that $40,000 scholarship, be given to someone who was heading to community college, someone who needed it more than she would need it. And that's what she did. I think of myself at 17 years old, heading off to college, and having an unrestricted $40,000 gift. I'm not sure I would have given that up. But she knew that many of her classmates were from economically challenged homes, like she was. She didn't look just to her own interests, but to the interests of others. You know, the media kind of caught hold of this story and reported it widely at the time. And you might say, well, why? You know, why does the media report on this? Well, it's because Verda had an unusual type of star quality that came through her actions, right? Philippians 2, verse 5, it goes on, it says, your attitude, our attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, by the way, with great privilege and power, right? That's what it means to be in very nature God. King of kings, Lord of lords, master of the universe. Our attitude should be the same as Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held tightly to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Jesus humbled himself even to death on the cross, as we read through that text. There is a lot of gray town around us today. And we feel it. We run into it every week. All we like sheep have gone astray, the Bible says. We've all run to our own corners in some way. This good and beautiful creation that God has provided for us is broken, but there really is good news here. And this is the encouragement that I think we can all hold on to. That Jesus invites us to be united with him. To embrace a new identity, an identity that begins at the cross. And that's what this whole chapter in Philippians is about. You know, Jesus invites us from our corners, from those far corners in Greytown, he invites us to come back out to be with him at the foot of the cross. To be united together as his people at the foot of the cross. Now, I'll be the first to admit, it is not easy to let go of identities and beliefs that we have embraced in those corners. And I think everybody does that. I certainly have. And it's hard to let go of some of that stuff and to come to the foot of the cross where you stand before sisters and brothers who have some different ideas on certain things. But that's what Jesus has done. There's a text in Colossians 2 that tells us that on the cross, Jesus disarmed the powers and authorities. I love that, right? That's not just religious words. That's a power that sets us free. There are powers and authorities that continue to grip our hearts and minds today. And I feel those powers and authorities whenever I talk to certain people. I can feel that rising up. Whenever I'm driving down the highway and maybe see certain flags hanging on fences or other kind of symbols that define the corners that people have decided to embrace. Whenever I scroll the news feed on my iPhone, I feel those powers and authorities beckoning me into the corners. You know what I'm talking about. You know why they're beckoning us into the corners? So that we can return to our little part of reality where we can be outraged at those who don't agree with us, right? Nobody likes living in Greytown. If you read C.S. Lewis's book, you'll realize Greytown is hell. And a lot of people who have stepped away from the church today have done it because they see the church as part of the problem, not part of the answer. Because we too are prone to run to the corners. And maybe this is because sometimes we get distracted and forget what true stardom looks like. You know? You're going to be looking for a pastor over in the next while. And I'll just say this boldly because I think it's true. Our unchurched neighbors around us, they are not looking for superstar pastors. They're not. Some congregations are. Because they think that'll fix things, right? Unchurched folks aren't. Our neighbors are not looking for churches that are building an empire in some corner of our world. It's not what they're looking for. They are looking for stars that shine with hope and embody true life. You embody that as the temple of Christ. Loved what you said at the beginning of worship today, guy. We are the body. We are the dwelling place of the living God. And He has enabled us to shine with His love. Galatians 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's what is required, right? To come out of our corners, to give up identities that are apart from Jesus so that He can make us His own again. Just imagine the encouragement that comes when we let the crucified and risen Lord set us free from all the various corners that we are prone to run. And we come together and embrace our identity that comes from being united with Christ when we are not looking just to our own interests, but to the interests of each other, even those who may look different, think different, act different than us. That's the life-giving hope of Jesus. That's the hope for the world. That's why the bride of Christ is the only way forward for Greytown. As you navigate these next months here at Applewood, my encouragement to you is to be who Christ has made you and resist the powers and authorities that tempt us to run to the corners, so that we can be stars of Jesus as we hold out the word of life. Lord, would you make this so, not only for this congregation, God, but for your church across this country and across this world, Lord. May we be your bride. May we be a source of life and hope for so many, God, who are seeking it. And may Jesus Christ be praised. Amen.